listening to Get Sports Radio.
Get Sports Info Podcast, episode number 8, Players I Like More. I am your host, Dan Claskins, and happy to have you back with us here on the podcast. We are taping with you today. It's Saturday, June the 17th of 2017, and we are very excited. It's Father's Day weekend, and hope all of you fathers out there have a great day. Be sure to tell your father happy Father's Day if you're fortunate enough to still have him around. And on today's show, we're going to actually dive into some sports fathers, if you will. Father-son combos, my top five of all time. We'll get into that a little bit later. And, Father's Day weekend and sports definitely go together, especially baseball. I'll be heading to the park with my daughter, Jessica. And I got to tell you, Father's Day is one of those things that it is a special day. I mean, first of all, I never knew how if I would ever get the chance to be a dad. My wife and I tried for a long time. At one point, it didn't look like I was going to get that opportunity. But wow, of all the hats I wear, of all the roles I have, my favorite one is being dad to that little girl. And also having lost my dad. I was raised by my stepfather, Mike, and Big Chief, as we like to call him. And, Chief, best dad you ever could wish for. And this will be now my 7th Father's Day without him here. And, it's a bittersweet day. But, his spirit lives in me. And I definitely wish all you guys a great Father's Day weekend out there. But let's dive into some other topics here as we set up the show. We are now past the mini camps all coming out this week. They're winding down. Teams getting ready for a nice little break before they get into training camp here. So the news flow dies down a little bit, but we'll never stop pumping it out. GetSportsInfo.com. It is the place to go to get the podcast anytime. You can also subscribe to it on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud, tons of ways to get it there. While you're at Get Sports Info, be sure to check out the blog there. It's the hashtag my, the number one, more thing blog. I've joined up the staff at Pro Football Focus, so all my written fantasy content, my rankings will eventually move there. You can get them at Get Sports Info, but they'll be exclusive to PFF this season. I encourage you to check out my latest article up there, the 5 Hot Fantasy Finishes from 2016, prime to keep it going here in 2017. I listed 5 guys there. We're actually going to talk about one of those guys in particularly during the show here today. So you've got that going on. But Get Sports Info. I've got my list of dad, son, father, son sport combos up there. I've got some good fantasy 101 takes. Of course, that's where you can get the rankings for right now. Really a wide variety of things. You can also get my update on the Great Cycle Challenge. I talked about that in the last podcast, but I'm in it during the month of June through the Children's Cancer Research Fund. I'm participating in the Great Cycle Challenge. It is a cycling event that lasts the entire month. You set your own goal of miles and how much funds you wanted to raise. And, this is a cause that I don't have a personal connection to as much, but as a parent, just the stories that I hear and read about of these children with cancer. 38 kids a week in the United States die of cancer. And this event is doing a great job at raising funds to combat that and awareness. I'm still about $100 shy of my goal. I'm well on pace to finish the month at my 50 mile of bike riding mark. And it's been a commitment for me, I made my donation. I'm hoping you might want to help the cause as well. You can learn more. That link is pinned to my Twitter profile at Dan Claskins, and you can find that on the blog there as well at GetSportsInfo.com. But let's dive into some of these latest headlines. Then we're going to get into the topic of the day, really. I just updated the rankings there at GetSportsInfo.com and at Fantasy Pros. And there is where I've got a lot of things going on. You know, my favorite report to pull when I update my rankings, the players I like more, the players I like less. And in this edition of the podcast, episode number 8 here, I really want to highlight a few players at each position that I like a substantial amount more than the other experts in the industry. I want to tell you who they are, tell you why I like them as much, and we'll dive into that as well. But a few headlines since we last spoke, and the one that a lot of these were things that we talked about in the last episode, but there have been developments. And we'll start with Jeremy Maclin, the wide receiver. He was released by the Chiefs the last time we talked, but since then, sorted through a number of different opportunities. He lands in Baltimore. And from a football standpoint, I think this is a great spot for both Jeremy Maclin as well as a great addition for the Baltimore Ravens. However, its fantasy impact, especially on Maclin himself, very minimal. I've got him pretty much right around the same spot I had him before, give or take a few tweaks to the ranks, but he's sitting in there right around wide receiver 50 on my board. Ironically, I actually flip-flopped my number 24 and 25th ranked quarterback and put Flacco ahead of Smith now that he's got Maclin. As I mentioned last week, the biggest mover in the ranks here was Tyreek Hill, who slid up about 10 spots in the firm high-end wide receiver 3 range for me in just about any format. Others have him higher. But this move in general, not a huge big ripple effect. I did drop Breshad Perriman down about 8 spots in my rank. So I think, if anything, he probably took a little bit of a hit here. But nonetheless, Maclin finds a new home and the dust settles on that situation. Not quite as cleared up yet on Eric Decker. He had a very promising visit with the Titans this week. A lot of hot talk going on that could be the spot. We don't have ink on paper yet. He left town without a deal, so Decker's still floating out there. And regardless of where he lands, I think it's going to be a wide receiver 3 ceiling upside for him. Michael Floyd, the news not good here. He already found himself a new offseason home in Minnesota, returning to his hometown Vikings team. But the talk out this week certainly wasn't good in terms of where he's at with his recent house arrest terms. According to TMZ Sports, the veteran receiver here, who was released last season in the middle of the year by Arizona, then picked up by the Patriots, nothing came up of there. He violated terms of his arrest by testing positive for alcohol. So he'll go back to court at the end of, later this week, actually June 26th, I believe, is the date in Arizona to explain why he failed all these tests that he was having to take. But this is not a good situation. This is not a guy who is extremely bullish on the past couple years anyway, but his stock continues to fall. There was a glimmer of hope that perhaps here in Minnesota he could righten the ship, but this is not the start we wanted to see for him there. And speaking of not great starts, Christine Michael, and I spoke of him last episode. He had been signed by the Colts after being dumped by the Packers, and still just 26. I mean, everybody's been enamored with his raw ability, and I got to admit, early on in the process, I certainly was drinking the Kool-Aid at a rapid pace myself, but as time has gone on, I have definitely lost favor with Michael. I wasn't getting excited about him being with the Colts, although it is a pretty thin situation. He's already been placed on the IR. Undisclosed injury sustained at minicamp. He's on IR. That hype train's going to have to stay derailed, at least for the 2017 season, and it could very well signal the end of Christine Michael's NFL career, given the fact of he's now been on 3 teams in less than 1 season. Let's now transition into the real core topic of the podcast today. As I mentioned, I just updated my rankings at GetSportsInfo.com. You can still get them there right now, probably for about until a few more weeks. We're going to be moving those later in the season to Pro Football Focus exclusively as part of the Edge package there. But we're waiting the relaunch of the site before I move them there. So I've given them a home there. And, of course, continuing there at Fantasy Pros. And what's interesting, when I get into Fantasy Pros and update my rankings, my favorite part about participating in that, obviously other than seeing how I fare against others in the industry that I respect so much, is I get an immediate identifier of players I like more, some players I like less. So I wanted to go position by position today and hit on a few of those guys, and I thought it'd make for interesting conversation. And we'll start at the quarterback position, and there's no doubt the quarterback that's really coming to the top in this regard for me is Matthew Stafford. Here's a guy that I have got right now nestled in here at QB8, and that is six spots higher than his expert consensus ranking. And then you take it a step further, I go to Fantasy Football Calculator, which is becoming one of my favorite sites to check out some ADP data. It's very user-friendly. It's easily accessible. There's all kinds of stuff. There's a nice history of ADP there. So I highly recommend checking that out. But I go there and I look at Stafford. Right now he's the QB15 going off the board here in round 10.11. So I'm looking at him as if you're waiting on the quarterback, this guy's the guy that's really coming to the top for me as one of those targets. And, you know, you might be surprised last year if you didn't really pay attention. This guy was sixth in total passing yards. I mean, threw for 4,327 yards there. 24 touchdowns, down from eight a year ago. But, I mean, here's a player that I really think that will continue to get the volume. I mean, 602 attempts in 2014. He's had 592 exactly each of the last two seasons. And, you know, his durability is also a factor. I mean, this guy, the first couple years of his career, a little bit banged up. But since then, he started 96 consecutive regular seasons games. He's added at least one TD on the ground in each of those seasons. So he's not like he's a mobile quarterback, but he's getting a little bit done there on the ground. I think last year he got off to the hot start with Jones. They had some injuries. I like what they've added a little bit this offseason. And if Ameer Abdullah can actually stay healthy with the Theo in that backfield, Eric Ebron continuing to take some strides. I don't know. He's just projecting a little bit higher up on my board right now. And at this point, I find extreme value when I talk about the Lions quarterback. A couple other quarterbacks that I think not quite as high, as big of a gap as I'm seeing here with Stafford up against that ECR ranking there at Fantasy Pros, but a couple spots higher. I like Kirk Cousins. I got him at QB7, the industry saying QB9. Dak Prescott at QB11, the industry saying QB13 there. And I guess in this regard, we can start with Cousins, who I got ranked a little bit higher. Here's a guy, number seven. Only Drew Brees and Matt Ryan threw for more yards than Cousins did a year ago. He threw for 4,916 yards, 25 passing touchdowns, had four more rushing touchdowns. And, you know, he is a guy that I've just, Jay Gruden in general, you know, leading the charge there on the sidelines for the Redskins. They're going to pass the football early and often. They did take some hits. The loss of, you know, both Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson could prove pretty bad. But I like the fact that they went ahead. They added in Terrell Pryor. You got this highly regarded receiver that is essentially now in his rookie year after missing his first year with injury in Josh Doctson. If he could get in there, Jamison Crowder, Jordan Reed. There's some questions about the backfield, but you have a great passing receiving back there in Chris Thompson coming out of the field. So I've got Cousins 7. He's a guy that that I think is just a nice mid-round pick, a pretty high floor, and a, you know, playing potentially for a contract, an equally as high ceiling in my eyes. So the other player there, Dak Prescott, I mean, here's a guy coming into his second season, and I mean, he joined the Cowboys last year. It was a fourth-round pick out of Mississippi State. Nobody ever thought he was ever going to get on the field, and then, of course, Romo got hurt. Now the Cowboys have parted ways with Romo, and you know, I'm looking at Prescott. I mean, here's a guy that had modest numbers as a rookie. I mean, he was just so efficient. But, you know, a dual-threat player, not only did he throw for 3,667 yards and 23 TDs through the air, but the six touchdowns on the ground, 282 rushing yards there. I think there's room for growth here. And I love this Cowboys offense. Obviously, still one of the best lines in football. You have a running back of Ezekiel Elliott's caliber that could definitely be that workhorse guy. So I'm all right going with Dak Prescott if I'm one of the last guys to grab my QB1. I think the upside's there. I've had him as a low-end QB1 to where most of the industry view him as a high-end QB2 at this point. Going back to the ADP on both of these quarterbacks at Fantasy Football Calculator right now, I can tell you, you're looking at Dak Prescott. He's the 12th quarterback going off the board around pick 9.10. And we've got Cousins, two spots higher. It's the QB10 off the board, somewhere around picks 8-11. And I'll take Cousins. I'll take Prescott for sure before some guys that are being drafted a couple of rounds higher. And Derek Carr, Ben Roethlisberger. We'll get into players I don't like as much, but these are some quarterbacks to look at. Let's go over to some running backs here and spend some time at that position. And I mean, if you've been reading my stuff at Pro Football Focus Fantasy or you're following me on Twitter at Dan Claskins, Bilal Powell is that guy that I really, really have been big on. I've got him at RB16 on my board. He's being drafted around RB27. You look at that expert consensus ranking, and it's a plus 12 differential for me against the industry, who's got him at RB28. But I wrote about it this week in my latest article at Pro Football Focus and talked about how brutal the Jets were down the stretch. But Powell, man, that lone bright spot, the focal point of both the running game and the passing game. Over the last 4 weeks of 2016, only Le'Veon Bell produced more fantasy points at the position. He scored three times during that span, rushing for 411 yards. Plus, he pulled in 21 of his 23 targets, 141 yards, receiving 5.0 yards per carry. And the size makes it tough for me to see him being that three-down back 16-game season. Matt Forte is still in the picture, but he's another year older. They still don't have a quarterback. Bilal Powell's going to be the centerpiece here, and he's a guy that I view as, even when you put him into standard formats where his touchdowns, you know, he's never been a guy that scores a lot of touchdowns, I still think he can be a low-end RB2 there, high-end RB2 in PPR, and a significant value based off of where he's going off the board currently. I don't expect that to stick, but we shall see. Three other running backs to keep our eyes on. Danny Woodhead, he's my RB26. CJ Procise, my RB31. And Kareem Hunt, the rookie for the Chiefs, my RB32. They're plus 8, plus 10, and plus 10 respectable. So Woodhead, here's a guy. I like the situation he's coming into. I mean, sure, he's getting older. I get it. He's going to be 33 in the very near future. He's missed most of the past two, three seasons with injuries here, but at his current price, where he's going once again, that draft spot, it makes him very appealing to me, specifically with the fact that Kenneth Dixon suspended for the first four games, so he's going to share some time with Terrence West there, but I mean, the Ravens, they added Macklin now. Woodhead had 76 receptions in 2013, 80 more in 2015. If he can stay remotely healthy, I think even after Dixon returns, this guy could easily get to 60-plus catches in this offense. I think he's a sneaky RB3 to grab. You know, there'll be a lot of early season value. But if you're not overpaying for him and he can give you that value, that's what I look for in players, and I think Woodhead offers that. I think CJ Procise, obviously another guy that if you followed me long enough, you know I'm enamored with. Seattle, sure, they signed Eddie Lacy this offseason, and I'm going to draft Eddie Lacy in either format before I will CJ Procise. But once again, this is coming down to ADP, where these guys are getting drafted. First of all, I'll say I'm a little bit lower than most on Lacy. I view him as a low-end RB2 with a very limited ceiling. I think some think he's going to go and become Marshawn Lynch 2 in Seattle. I don't see that. I don't even see it being close. I do think that he can be an adequate runner. If you ask me if I liked him or Marshawn Lynch better, I mean, it's easy. Marshawn Lynch by a landslide, the former Seahawk who's returning to his hometown Raider team after sitting on the sidelines for a year. But to me, CJ Procise, as I go and I look at, especially PPR, you look at PPR leagues right now, 12-team leagues, you look at that running back position, and I'm seeing CJ Procise's name way down on the list here. I mean, all the way down, RB39 right now, pick 8.10. I've got him at 31. RB31 on my board. The expert consensus is 41. So Prosise is a guy that, when if he gets the ball in his hands, is just as good about as any running back in this football league. And I really like the fact that, you know, he's sort of different than Lacy. So even if Lacy is a big part and stays healthy and things go well with that signing for Seattle, I think Prosise will have enough of a role there. Injuries have been his problem as well. They limited him to just 6 games as a rookie. He fractured his scapula there in that Week 11 game. It was unfortunate timing, too, because a week earlier, you saw what he's capable of in that Monday nighter versus the Patriots. 22.3 PPR fantasy points in that game. But I think he just fits really well with this team. You know, he was a former college receiver, a reliable target out of the backfield. And, when he ran that 4.48 back in the 2016 combine, he definitely turned some heads. I think he has had the ability to do as much with any single touch as any player in the backfield for any team, really. I mean, he is that good of a runner, but he's got to stay healthy. Eddie Lacy's got to allow him an opportunity to, get more involved by maybe even disappointing a little bit. But, hey, man, I'll pay the price. What are we risking here? At that point of the draft, that's where I'm going for upside, and that's what you get here in this case with Prosise. The final running back I want to hit on here, Kareem Hunt, RB32 on my ranks, plus 10 over the expert consensus ranks. I'll be short here. Spencer Ware definitely started off hot last year, sort of faded at the stretch. Hunt's getting talked up, the rookie here. There are other rookie running backs, clearly, I'll take ahead of Hunt. But, at this spot of the draft, I think he could actually outperform Spencer Ware, if things break right. I still got Ware currently ranked higher, but not too far behind him is the rookie who's now joining that Chiefs backfield. Let's move over to receivers, run through these very quickly. Golden Tate, wide receiver 14 on my board. That's plus 11. And Tate, a guy, once again, I just wrote about hot finishers at PFF. He was talked about in that article there. I encourage you to go check out all those guys. Powell as well was on that list, but Golden Tate, since he 3 years now in Detroit, and this guy, I mean, he's about as consistent as they come in that time. 90-plus receptions in each of those years. He works mostly underneath in that Lions passing attack, averaged only 8.4-yard receptions. Or excuse me, I shouldn't say only, but he averaged 8.4 receptions per contest during that span. Nothing too shabby about that at all. But, the problem with Tate, only 14 touchdowns since the start of 2014 when he joined the Lions. However, you're looking at a guy, only 4 receivers in the league had more receptions than his 60 and more targets than the 80 he saw from week eight on last year. I think, I like Stafford. If I like Stafford, I have to like his favorite target too, and that's why I like Golden Tate here. Other receivers, Alshon Jeffrey. I've got him at wide receiver 10. That's about 5 spots higher than the expert consensus. He's coming over on a 1-year deal. I think it's a fresh start. This is an ascending young Eagles offense. I mean, once you get to about pick 7 or 8 at receiver, from really about 9 to about 16, I think there's some interchangeable parts here. Jeffrey just landed there, and I think most are projecting him and questioning his injury ability and ability to transition to this offense. I'm a little more optimistic on both fronts, I guess. He's coming out here, and I think he's obviously borderline wide receiver 1. If you get him as your wide receiver 2, you're feeling awesome. But he's a guy that, if you do get him as your wide receiver 1, you're going to want a good wide receiver 2 there to sort of combat that. But I like the price tag right now. I like the price tag on Pierre Garçon. We've talked about him already and Kyle Shanahan's reunion with him in San Francisco. Garçon, I mean, the ceiling, it's not as high as some of these other guys we're talking about here today, but that floor is. I've got him at wide receiver 30 plus 4. And Kenny Britt, I've got him 9 spots ahead of the expert consensus. He's my wide receiver 34 in my latest rankings. And now in Cleveland, after his productive year in a dismal situation last year in L.A., not that Cleveland's that much better, but Hugh Jackson, I like where this offense is going. I think they're going to get more consistent quarterback play than he had a year ago with Jared Goff and that terrible line there in Los Angeles with the Rams. So I like Britt in his new home. I look at him as a low-end wide receiver 3, and he is my favorite wide receiver on the board. I got him about 6 or 7 spots higher than Corey Coleman, who many others rank higher than him, but this is a nice value play for me here with the veteran Britt. Finally, tight ends, Antonio Gates and Zach Miller are the two guys that I've chalked up here. I'm not going to spend a ton of time. Neither of these guys are tight end ones. I have them each six spots higher than the expert consensus, though. Gates at 14 in my ranks, Miller at 17. Of course, Gates, I mean, this guy's like 167 years old. I mean, seriously, we are expecting a decreased role. Can he even stay healthy? I don't know, but here's what I do know. I love this Chargers passing offense. If they stay healthy, it will be one of the most dynamic units, and I think they're saving Gates for where he excels most, and that's inside that red zone, particularly inside the 5-10-yard line. Gates is a better play in a standard league, a deep standard league where you need a tight end and you wait till the end. I mean, in NFL 10s, I can't tell you how many times I got him as my tight end too because he's just being ignored. I think he's going to score 6 to 8 touchdowns this season, and you know that's why he's on this list. And Zach Miller, I mean, coming back from an injury, a lot of changing pieces there in Chicago, but we already talked about Jeffrey leaving the team. So there's fewer weapons. I think if Miller comes back, he could be a sneaky late grab as well at that tight end spot. We're going to wrap up today's show with a hashtag my one more thing, and that is the number one comment. That's the name of my blog at GetSportsInfo.com, and with me moving the fantasy writing over to Pro Football Focus, I'm still going to write a little football, but a lot about other sports and just life and off-the-beaten-path topics as well, and having a lot of fun over there, and I appreciate everybody's feedback on Twitter as well. If you got a take or want to chime in on one of these topics, include the hashtag my, the number one, more thing, and I will 100% engage back with you on that, and really appreciate the time for that. But today I wanted to wrap up, as I mentioned at the top, it is Father's Day, and you know I miss my dad, Chief, and looking forward to spending Father's Day with my daughter, Jessica, tomorrow. But Father's Day and sports are sort of, they go hand to hand in my eyes, and it is Father's Day weekend, and as a sports fan, it's always a reminder of spending time with dad and watching and talking sports. In honor of the holiday and my passion for sports, I put a blog post together at GetSportsInfo.com. 10 best father sports combos of all time. And I won't hit on all 10 of them here, but just living in Cincinnati and as a Reds fan alone, I mean, my number three on the list, and you know, many could argue with number one, would be the Griffies. And you know, Ken Griffey Jr., obviously one of the greatest players of all time, voted on to the 20th century team. He was injury riddled during his time here as a Red, but still, I mean, 630 home runs, just inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame here recently. The kid is legit. His dad also pretty damn good ball player. I mean, a member of the Big Red Machine. He's got a pair of World Series rings, 3-time All-Star. To me, my most memorable Father's Day sports moment was actually when Griffey Jr. hit his 500th career home run and took it out of the park there in St. Louis. His father was there, his mom was there, his son and his wife and his kids were all there, and Griffey hit the home run. Marty Brenham, my favorite broadcaster of baseball, being a Reds fan for obvious reasons, on the call, Griffey doing it on Father's Day, and even in St. Louis, a big rival of the Reds, but a great baseball town, one I've experienced myself, some of the best fans in sports. They gave him a standing ovation, and afterwards Griffey went over, hugged his dad. I also remember in 1990, you know, Griffey Sr. was on the Reds to start that season, but they actually traded him down the stretch. You know, he was pretty expendable to the team, so they traded him to Seattle, and of course he hit the first father-son duo to hit back-to-back home runs in Major League history. I got links and highlights to both of them, a great interview of the Griffies as part of that post. I had the Bonds at number two and the Mannings at number one, and I mean, how couldn't you put Archie, Peyton, and Eli at the top, given the four Super Bowl rings the Suns have won, Peyton one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, and then, of course, the very storied college, and then decently solid pro career for Archie. Those are my top three. I'm interested to know who you think the best father-son sports combo is in sports history. You could tweet me. I'd love to hear it and debate it with you. Include the hashtag my, the number one more thing. Check out the complete list. Who else made my 10? And maybe there's somebody you think I left off. Let me know that too. You can look at all of it and more at GetSportsInfo.com. Of course, that's the home of this podcast. We're doing it weekly, all off season long, close to weekly as much as possible, and probably even more than that during the season. So be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud. We love your reviews on any of those sites as well. Got a great review up there on iTunes. So only one so far. So hopefully your other six listeners will leave one as well. But encourage feedback, man. There's something you'd like to see better. On the next episode, it was delayed this week. I was hoping to line it up. But next week, we will get back into some divisional primers on episode number 9 of the podcast. My friend Dennis Farrell. He does a lot of local radio in Detroit, a lot of great fantasy podcasts on his own, and has been a friend of the show of mine on the various radio platforms for a number of years. He'll join us. We'll dive back in with a look at the NFC North, talk about his Lions and more. Check out all the rankings for you. You can get them at GetSportsInfo.com and all my great fantasy content at Pro Football Focus. I'll be back on Sirius XM Fantasy Sports Radio as well here in just a couple weeks for a sixth season as the host of Fantastic's Insider Football with my good friend James Adams, along with producer Phil Backard and the great team there at Sirius XM. So we're going to be talking plenty between now and then. The season's coming upon us soon. Stay in touch with me at Dan Klaskins on Twitter and catch me next time right here on your The Get Sports Info podcast. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon.